Welcome to a Listen to Older Voices Golden Moments program, and brought to you through the Toorak Times. This is a repeat program from our archives that we believe has merit enough to rebroadcast so that the story and the person's life can be shared with those who may have missed it the first time.
This program features Winnie speaking with JC Hall.
How are you, Win?
I'm very well, thank you very much.
When were you born?
1929.
And where was that?
That was in England. I was born in February, and so I'm 73 now.
What year did you come out?
58.
That's a big move, moving away from your family, your roots. Why did you do that?
I love England, and I'll always be a monarchist, but we couldn't get a house. I got married, the day I got married, I applied for a housing loan, of course, and you had no chance of getting it then. And then when my first was born, a boy, we applied again, and they said, oh, you've got no hope. We waited, the second child, a girl, was born, and I thought, my goodness, we'd better try again, because I was living with Mum. And still no. He said, look, you haven't got a hope in hell of getting a house at the moment. Well, you know, you want one when you're young and got, you know, a couple of kiddies coming on.
So you're pretty pessimistic about your future in England. What was the attraction for Australia?
I think the thing that appealed to me about Australia was that if you're willing to work, you can get on. But unfortunately, it wasn't all like roses, like they tell you at Australia House. My goodness, I think I had a chappie from out of the bush. He said, you go there to Australia and you buy a bit of land or a couple of $100s, he said, or pounds in those days. And he said, you find the biggest tree on that piece of land and dig around it and put your potatoes. That's your mainstay, he says. He said, and then you build like a lean-to out for the house. I thought, oh my God, this is roughing it. It's like the early Americans. But we still thought we would come out and see the kangaroos running down the street, but nothing like it at all. I found it very civilised and harder than what he said.
Your husband's name's Ted. So you and Ted came out to Australia. Where did you land?
We landed at Melbourne.
Do you call Australia home now?
I certainly do, but the Australians still say I haven't got my knees browned yet. But and they say, cool, you're English, aren't you? I said, how can you tell?
Well, we'll turn the clock back to when you were in England. Whereabouts were you born in England? When?
I was born, funny enough, down the walk, Lambeth Walk. I really was. And so I am a Cockney, born and bred.
So you'd like Max Bygraves' will in a bit of the Lambeth Walk?
Well, now, you're talking about Maxie. I used to go out with him. Now, this is a funny story, but I did go out with him, a couple of times, not many. And my dad comes and said, what's the matter with the boy? Don't you like him? And I said, well, yes, Dad, but he's a wee bit handy with his hands for me. So I called that off because I was brought up proper. Mum had 10 children, but only 6 survived, and we were still overcrowded in London, so we were sent down to Dagenham, Essex, which a lot of people would know about Dagenham, because that's where the Ford Motor Works was and Briggs Bodies Motor Works.
So it was a commercial area?
It certainly was, and there was work for as many people as would have liked to have come.
Did Dad work there?
My dad did. He worked in the foundry of the Ford's Motor Works, and he quite, you know, liked it there, but my dad, in those days, turned his hand to anything. Nothing was too big or too small for him. He's even been a dustman my old man, the dustman. Yes, he was a dustman. He worked for the council. He turned his hand, whatever bought him a few bobbin.
Was he a good dad?
He really was. He really was. And my mum was harder, because I think you had to be. But my dad was a softy. He, like food-wise, if he had whatever he had, he would cook it for that day. There was never no tomorrow. Whatever he had, he would cook it, use it, eat it. Today is the day, like, you know, live for today.
And Mum used to worry for tomorrow.
She did. She did. She was very careful with the money, what money she got. And she would put little bits of money under this egg cup, bit of half a crown under there for the Coleman, or something else under there for the insurance. And my dad knew every little hole there. And if he wanted to, Bob, he would go and take it and put it on horse. If it won, oh, everybody was happy. But if he lost, where's that money? You know, so, he was a very happy man.
Tell us about your mum.
She came from gypsy stock. She was a Romany from way back. Mum was very swarthy and strong, as gypsy women are. She could do a lot of things that sometimes a man couldn't do.
So did her family roam around, do work and live in the caravan?
Yes. She lost her father, apparently, because they were Vincente, and then her name was Sadler. So her mother obviously married again, and when she did, I think they moved into a house and gave up that type of life. So she married what they call a gringo, which is a white chap. They just travelled from place to place before that, and I think her people, her brothers, sisters, cousins, whatever, probably are still doing that on the road, usually around Hampstead Heath. That's where the gypsies congregate.
Did she ever tell you what the wagon was like?
It was a proper van, caravan, pulled by horses, and Mum said it was so spotless. Her mum was so clean, and every lamp shone. She said it was so beautiful. It was like a Christmas cracker. Everything was shining and new and beautiful.
And this is Listen to Older Voices. Ageless Stories on Ageless Radio.
Did you have a happy childhood growing up in England and going to school?
Yes, I did. I was Mum had 10, but there were 6 left, and I was sort of more or less middle of that 6. I had 2 older and 2 younger. And, there were 3 older, because one was already married when I was born. Well, she got married. She was, Mum had her, and then 4 more, lost them 4. And so it was like a... It was like a second family. So I always think sort of only 5 of us, really.
What happened to the other children, the ones that died?
No money, no food. A couple was born dead. One died of malnutrition. And one died accidentally. He was a year old, and fell onto the fireplace. Do you know the little fireplace? It's a fender-like. And the glands came down and eventually choked him, and he was only about a year old.
Things must have improved a little by the time you came along.
Yes. Well, I was born, as I say, in 29. It was still hard, money was, but if you could do a bit of work, if you could turn your hand to anything. See, my mum would go out potato picking up potatoes, working, pea picking. We used to go hop picking. Whatever you could do to get a bob. If you couldn't have a straight job, then these out-of-the-way jobs were good enough.
What jobs did you do when you left school? And what age were you when you left school?
Oh, well, going back now, I was about 14 when I left. And the first job I got was in the scullery, in the kitchen, washing up dishes. That didn't last that long, about 6 months. And then I went to Hackney. They provided a bus and sent us to Hackney to Dalston Street, Hector Powell. They were high-class tailoring men's suits and that. From there I went into the army. The war had finished when I went in to the ATS, and then, of course, I went nursing. But I never did pass the finals. I was a bit of a flibbertigibbet, really. I wanted to try my hand at everything, and if I may say so, I wasn't too bad looking in those days. I had so many bows to my string, I really did.
How come Ted was a successful bloke?
While I was nursing up at Stones Green, which is near Colchester, where he was, he had just been demobbed from the army, and he went to work as a gardener at this hospital. And we got to see each other. We just got on like a house on fire. I was 20 year old and 3 days when I got married.
How many children do you and Ted have?
Just the two, unfortunately. We had one, Robert, and I put on so much weight, it wasn't funny. And the doctor said, oh, yeah, well, that's the puberty gland. That's all that is. If you have another one, it will be right. I did, and I was twice as big.
So you had a problem with your weight then?
I certainly did. The doctor said he wouldn't have a third one to try it out. I never did.
Did you have children when you came out to Australia?
I had Robert. He was 6 or 7, and my baby was 4, Rosemary.
A boy and a girl?
Yes, I've got 2 lovely children. I've got them here, around me now.
Both your children live locally to you?
Yes.
And what's it been like bringing your kids up compared to your childhood and all the struggle your parents had?
I think a lot easier. In the old days, Mum and Dad, it was the mother's place to be at home, and the father, if he could, worked and brought the children up. And I think it was a wonderful environment. You sort of knew where you were. Out here, when my kids were young, most of the mums were going out to work. Now, that's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing. But if you got adequate places for your kids to be looked after, or, you know, if they're able to look after themselves, that's not too bad. But I found Australia as a whole was a far better place. There was more opportunities, more places like creches and that for your kids to go. So it was made, the younger families were made easier, you know, to maintain.
Does it cause you a little bit of sadness that your children aren't brought up as English?
No, not really. My son is a died in the war. He won't get naturalised. He's 53 now. And he said, no, Mum, I married an English girl. And he said, I can't think there's any need. My daughter, of course, married an Australian boy. And yes, she did get naturalised.
Did that worry you?
Not really. Just so long as they don't expect me to. My grandson, he's 22, and he still says today, Nan, why don't you get naturalised? And I said, well, I don't honestly feel that there's a need.
And what do you think of the royal family these days? They've been through so many traumas and changes. What's your feeling on the royal family's future?
I feel very sorry for the Queen, really, because like any mother, it must be hard that her children have gone this way. It was never heard of, but then it was a hushed-up affair if it was happening. They're only human, and I feel sorry that the boys have turned out like they have, like, you know, Charlie and Andrew. But why hold on to a marriage if it's not working, I suppose? But that's not the parents' fault. It's not the Queen's fault. I mean, she's done her best, I think, for them. And you just hope that, as in thousands of families, these things will straighten themselves out. What can you do?
This is Listen to Older Voices, and you're listening to a Golden Moments program.
At 73, Wynne, how do you view the world now? Any differently than when you were a young chook?
I used to gad about a lot, go to theatres, go here, go there, holiday in. Unfortunately, old time, arthritis and the other things have kept me from doing so. I would love to get away, but can't. My legs don't work any as much as they used to. But what takes its place is something more serene. I love to make dolls. I knit a lot. I give some to the hospitals. I sell some up at the Senior Sets Club. Nearly every baby that came along, or in this case now with grandchildren coming along, they usually get one of my dolls, one of my toys. But I feel I must keep my fingers moving because arthritis is creeping along and it won't be long before it probably attacks my fingers. So while I can, I knit or sew or all that, you know, stuff, and I love it.
Are there any advantages in getting older?
Of course, we get the pension, which my mum and dad never got. They never had anything to help us out. And I do believe that the elderly are more comfortably fixed than ever they were. I do. I sort of... It's not a lot, but yes, if you're careful, you can manage on that, and you can still have little pleasures. I don't tipple, but I did like a cigarette, which I have given up. I've given up 3 months now.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, well, you still feel you've got to have one, but I won't have them in the house, and so thereby I can't smoke them, but to think, oh, now's the time I would like a cigarette.
Now, when I first met you, Wynne, you were involved in a bush band with a lot of senior citizens. What got you involved in that? And that's some years ago now.
Yes, that is. I think about 83, something like that when I joined. And we had a senior sits week. We were invited to a lunch by the council up the Arts Centre, which we went to, and somebody there said, look, we've got a good bush band, why don't you join? And I said, I can't play nothing. So he said, don't matter, if you can rattle a couple of spoons, come, which I did go. And I ended up playing the maracas. And the fool, I can play the fool very, very well. That I can do. And I loved it, you know.
Used to have heaps of fun.
Oh, my word. We visited other clubs. We visited homes, elderly citizens' homes. We visited the hospitals. So many places that we went, and very much appreciated the hospitals particular liked us. And,
do you miss it?
I did. I think, to be honest, I was born to be a comedian. And when we had a concert party after the bush band, and I loved every minute because I did all the old English song, the comic ones, and I believe I put my 2 cents worth in to entertain the people, and I'm sure they liked me.
What sort of things do you do for pleasure these days, Wynne?
Well, not a great deal, really. I still love my club on a Thursday. Go to bingo now and again, which is not often. Make my toys, and I get a great joy when I give somebody a toy or, you know, one of my little dolls, and their little face lights up. Well, that makes me happy. But there's not a lot. I love to see my children and my grandchildren. They are my world now, my two children and my four grandchildren.
What do they mean to you, Wynne?
Oh, they mean a lot. I've been ill. I've been very ill. I've been in and out of hospitals. I've had that many operations. It's not funny. But with the cancer, when that came, I nearly gave up. And my grandchildren said, Nana, don't leave us. You know, we love you, blah, blah, blah. And that made me cry. And I thought, well, that's it. Even if you don't enjoy life yourself, they enjoy having you here, so you've got to make the most of it.
Do you think there's enough interaction between older people and young children?
No, I don't. I don't really. Even the true grandmas, some of them don't seem to want to take an interest in. Yes, their lifestyle, the young ones, is totally different to ours. It's a free and easy one, where when you're older, like me, it seems very hard to adapt to that. Because when you're brought up by the old school, it's this or nothing, you know. And a lot of older people find that hard to adapt to the young ones. But the young ones are finding it hard to adapt to the old style. But I truly feel that there's room for both. The young ones can certainly learn from the older ones. And if we listen to the young ones, we can learn from them quite a lot of things because they are deep.
What sort of things have you learnt from your grandchildren?
Tolerance for one, and not to take things too seriously. If there's a serious matter, if you feel you can't get over an obstacle, stop. Think about it. Then you'll find that it's not as bad as what you thought it was. So the children have taught me to be optimistic and look for the other fella's point of view, because there's always two sides to every story.
Do you worry about the future for your grandchildren?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do, and especially in the light of what's happening with the terrorists and things. Yes, I do wonder. But then again, what parent doesn't worry? See, my parents worried about us when we were kids with the war, World War II. Their parents probably worried about that, 1914. It doesn't matter what year and age, I feel we will still have trouble all the time until people come to their senses and realise that war is not the answer.
What do you see for the future for yourself, Wynne?
Sometimes I feel like a young spring chicken and I feel like, oh, yes, I could do this. If I had the money, I would go on holidays. But then you think, well, why? I've done it. I have been on holidays like that, real good holidays. Been to Fiji. I've been mostly around the world on a tour. If you can't do it, if your legs and back and it won't let you do it, then you live here. Inside your head. And I've got so many memories, photos, films, all that. You bring them out and you relive all those holidays again. But as for what I'd like to be, my dream, I would love to be able to entertain people. That is my forte. Was that my granddaughter's 21st? And they had a karaoke night. And I got up, they asked me to sing, which I did, and they're still talking about it now. I love the old songs, and I feel I come alive when I'm doing that.
Wynne, how would you describe your 73 years?
Well, it's been wide and varied, many, many aspects. I don't think there's anything that I've done that I've regretted. I've enjoyed everything even when I was evacuated during the war, that was an experience. That was going. We went up to Caister, Great Yarmouth. Didn't get out very much in those days, but to be evacuated up there, The war itself, having terror around you and being able to forget it by singing. We sang in the shelters, and it brought people together. It really did. People just was concerned about their neighbour. And then, of course, growing up, young friend, boyfriend, girlfriend, and going into the army, going into the nursing system, and then more or less getting married, and it was all one on top of the other, and each part in itself was a wonderful stage, and I wouldn't be without any of it.
So lovely to have talked to you, Wynne. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, JC, and it's been a pleasure to talk to you.
Listen to Older Voices is produced by Rob Greaves at the Melbourne Community Support Program on behalf of Wesley Mission Victoria. The program is supported by financial assistance from the Commonwealth and Victorian governments and is brought to you through the Toorak Times.